ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland with Kate O'Toole.
We've seen a very difficult time for employment, for work, for unemployment numbers in Australia during the pandemic. But what does the future look like if you're trying to plan and strategise? There's been new research from the Productivity Commission showing a 340% increase, this is since 2016, of people engaging in part-time or casual or self-employed and gig work. So what does that mean moving forward? How do you find a sense of security when employment is increasingly casual? And is there anything you can do to, I guess, optimize your opportunities for you and also maybe for your kids who are still studying? How do you, you know, plan to deal with this changing workspace? Carolyn Alchin is from Career Motivate, and she regularly joins us on the program to have a talk about, you know, careers and employability. And so this seemed like one to throw to you, Carolyn. Does this this Productivity Commission research make sense to you? A 340% increase in this kind of part-time casual type of employment just in the last few years?
Yeah, it does make sense. When you look at the gig economy, as in running around and having lots of gigs and getting gigs because of your skill set, I think that that is the modern world of work. And we've known that casualisation was getting more and more prolific. And yet the mindset of most employees and humans that are looking for jobs is still that concept of, I just need a secure job, I just need a full-time job, then I'll be safe. And that's not where safety comes from, sadly.
Where does safety come from in this environment?
Well, actually, safety comes from being adaptable, being relevant, being resilient, and really planning and looking ahead. So one of the things that the productivity report talks about is the fact that people need to be thinking forward into what's coming, what trends are coming, what's happening in the future. And I think that what it also talks a lot about is the fact that if you're between, you know, up to the age of kind of 34, chances are you may not have had as many opportunities to go into those higher level occupations that have got that reputational value, etc., but that you are more resilient and more adaptable. So the cool part is we need to actually leverage on that adaptability and that resilience and look at how we can best help people be their best. And if you are an older person that's still got young people at home, because let's be honest, that's on the rise as well, how mature people can actually help their kids to be most successful. And that's about helping them stay relevant, helping them stay educated, helping them get experience, and not kind of thinking, okay, this is a fun thing to say, Kate, and it may or may not go well, but the concept of if my children go to uni, they'll get a good job is not always the case. If your child or your young person or you, in fact, goes into a job that doesn't suit them, it usually goes badly. If they go into education that isn't what they value or are interested in, it usually goes badly. So the best idea, rather than just saying, oh, uni's the only pathway, it's one wonderful pathway for lots of people, but is to actually help people to find roles that suit their skills, interests, values, etc., etc. And that's really tough when, you know, many people, including myself, was brought up to think, okay, uni's the only way, because if I go to uni, I'll get a good job. Does that make sense?
Oh, look, you just busting myths left and right here, Carolyn, this morning. You've got, you know, firstly, a secure job that we think of as a secure job is not actually secure anymore, and security comes from being adaptable. Well, oh, that's like something to turn your brain around. And then, you know, university, though we have heard this a little bit, that university doesn't necessarily dictate a great job, although it can, you know, in the kind of boiling down of the stats, end up with higher paid work. It depends on how you sort of go at it, I suppose.
It really does. And when you're thinking about university, a lot of people think a degree is a job, and that's not the case. A degree is one tool in the tool belt of getting a job or finding employment that suits you. When we think about what the internet and tech has brought us, what we have is access to so much information, right? So much access to so much information, which is why it's so much cheaper to start a micro business. It's so much cheaper to have a side hustle. It's so much more achievable to do that kind of stuff. stuff. So rather than thinking about it from the negative of going, this is it, you know, everyone's getting less employment, there's underemployment. Yes, we know COVID sucks. And let's be honest, the labour market has been more gig economy based for some time. Instead, what we can see is the opportunities in that space. I'm more likely to be able to start my own business. I'm more likely to get opportunities in relation to grants and government spaces for small business, because the government is going to be obsessed with jobs for the next few years to try and get us out of this nasty little valley. Mm. So I think that there are positives, but the biggest positive to think about is finding stuff that suits the individual. So as a family person, not assuming that there's only one way to success, but being adaptable. So whether that be trade, you know, there's a lot of statistics that talk about vocational jobs, like trades and things like that, bringing in just as much money as a university degree. Yeah. And when we're thinking about that, also thinking about that job mobility. The Productivity Commission talks about the fact that it's harder for people to change industries. That's why the side hustle is so important than the micro business concept. Creativity is in growth, which is fantastic. Innovation is in growth. And those things are there because adaptability is so necessary in today's world. So I think leveraging on those skills is key for people to be successful, and also helping people finish things and push through in times of challenge. So, you know, if we think about a 51-year-old that gets made redundant during COVID, it's going to be quite tough for them, quite possibly, to have to rethink their skills and how they can use those skills in industry currently. But that adaptability and that resilience that they've probably built up over their whole lifespan, we need to help them see that and leverage on that.
I worry when I hear side hustle, because in some places that equates to like multi-level marketing organisations, which like the proportion of people
awful.
Who make a lot of money from those is very, very small.
Tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we're thinking side hustle, I'm talking, you know, your own personal Etsy business, or I'm talking about if you are working as a side hustle because you make cakes on the weekends and you sell them out, or a side hustle because you renovated a place and you're Airbnb-ing it or whatever. That kind of side hustle is what I'm talking about. I'm not sort of talking about some of the you know, possible Ponzi schemes, if that makes sense. We're literally talking about in this situation when people have a passion and an idea and a creative solution to a problem, and they leverage it in a small way towards employment.
I'm speaking with Carolyn Alchin from Career Motivate. We're just talking about the whole way the landscape is changing with employment, in reflecting on the Productivity Commission's report recently showing a 340% increase of people engaging in part-time, casual or self-employed and gig work in the last few years. There has been some criticism, Carolyn, about the amount of casual work and how that has put additional people pressure on people to, for example, work when they're sick during this COVID time. So there's been a little bit of sort of verbal pushback about that, but do you think that there's going to be any structural shift in the marketplace when it comes to casual work?
With the economy in the state that it's in currently, I can't imagine that there's going to be a shift, because when you think about the fact that there's more and more small businesses than there's ever been, small businesses lack the financial backing to be able to fund when people are sick, other than the general normal sick pay that would exist in full-time or part-time employment. So I hate to say it, but I think the government, from my perspective, will be the only one that might play in this space. And they're already demonstrating that with the payment if you've had your COVID test and you're waiting for your results. So I think from my point of view, yes, that level of insecurity is there. And I hate to say it, but I think we've just got to get used to it at this point in time.
Okay, so it's about changing your mindset too, and appreciating that it's not just, as you said at the start, a permanent job that gives you security, but there's other ways to provide security sort of for yourself. How do you, if you've always just gone from, you know, normal permanent job to permanent job, but you've lost your job now, how do you begin to equip yourself to be adaptable, as you say?
Well, that's the fun part. This is where I'm a big fan of supporting people. You know how most people see a resume as just a document that you put forward to get work? I'm a big fan of seeing it as a demonstration of your skills, abilities, and how you can translate and transfer them to different industries. So from my point of view, a LinkedIn profile or a resume, and actually sitting down and working through that resume or LinkedIn profile on all of the cool stuff you've done as an employee over the years, but not just the role you've held, but the skills and experience you gained in that role. So for example, the number of humans that I would see write customer service on their resume, and it makes me pull my hair out, when they could be writing strong communication, mediation, and teamwork skills, yeah? When they could be talking about the fact that they've worked with diverse clientele in high pressure, time-dependent environments.
Yep. Carolyn Alton is from Career Motivate, just talking some about the new world that we all face, where there's increasing casualised jobs and, you know, the gig economy where you might want to kick something off yourself. Carolyn, starting a small business is pretty scary. Like, if that's a strong part of the community, or it's going to be a strong part of the job landscape from, you know, in future, how do you sort of dip your toes in the water there if you've never had a small business before?
Well, the cool part is that there's so many co-working spaces that exist now in cities and regional areas. There's so many different startup support businesses and collaboratives that exist, and so much government support. I mean, Queensland alone, I think, from memory in the last 5 years, has put in something upwards of 40 mil into this space of supporting people in their business starting. The other thing is if you, for example, Googled Queensland government business plan, you can go in and they've got a million different templates, and that might be a slight exaggeration, but lots of templates and lots of supports to help you understand how you can imagine yourself in a business. So if you're a creative soul and you're all airy-fairy and you love your new ideas, that's fantastic, but business tends to be a little bit more hard-nosed. So writing a business plan is a great way to identify your marketing, identify your demographic, identify your gaps, so that you can then find people around you to help fill those gaps. And you often find those people through chambers of commerce, for example. So if you put in your local area, you can find your chamber of commerce. I was on the board of the Springfield Chamber of Commerce for some years, and we had so many people that were so frightened when they first started their businesses, but by going into the Chamber of Commerce, they found a support network of people that they could share ideas with, share professional development with, and really build their plans.
Carolyn Alton, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thanks, Kate.
You're with Kate O'Toole on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.